Going to be in Jonah chapter 3, good Lord willing, for a little bit. If you're visiting with us here this morning, we'd like to say welcome and pray that you make yourself at home. And if you're in here and you're lost, you're most welcome. And you're in the best spot that you could ever think about being in, even though you might feel uncomfortable, even though you might feel like you're out of place. We all felt that way one time or another. Sitting studying this week and trying to figure out what to read, and really wasn't getting nowhere that I thought was going to make a message out of, and started reading this last night, and God showed me something and wants me to give it to you. But we have a lot of trouble trying to understand what God wants in our lives. It's just for most across the board that I've talked to in my ministry, we struggle with our calling, we struggle with our abilities and our talents. It's not a lot that we don't trust God. It's a lot that we're scared to mess up, we're scared to fail, we're scared that somebody might say something about us, judge us, or criticize us, or whatever. And we're all the time looking at someone else and not looking at ourselves. But with our Christian walk, you have to understand that it's personal. It has nothing to do with my wife. It has nothing to do with my children or my mom or my dad. It's strictly between me and God and nobody else. So why would I worry about what anybody else thinks, or why would I care what anybody else says? Because I'm not doing it to please them. I'm not doing it to show them. I'm doing it to please and to show God how much that I love Him. So if we could get that out of our way, if we could get that beside of us, I think we could have a lot better relationship with Christ in general. But there's so many things that you have to look out for. And in the book of Jonah, we'll turn over there here in just a second, where it'd be in chapter 3. The first part of that account, you know, we look at Jonah and we criticize Jonah. We say, well, and just as much as the children of Israel, we look at the children of Israel and say, Lord, have mercy. They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. They've seen miracle after miracle, but yet they didn't trust God. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, you're exactly like the children of Israel. We're all exactly like the children of Israel. We took the girls over to sing the other day, and that guy said something that kind of struck me. He said, we're still wandering around. Everybody is. Nobody's really for sure. Everybody's kind of like, well, I don't know this and I don't know that. Friend, you need to be rock solid in your salvation. You either know you're saved or you're lost. And if you know that you're saved, you ought to be proud of that, because Jesus Christ died and paid the penalty for your sin. And there ought not be any shame in telling somebody else the good news. But we fight with it day in and day out. The children of Israel, when Moses went up on the mountain to get everything from God, they couldn't wait any longer, and they looked at Aaron and said, oh, he's been too long. A lot of times we think, well, God's just been too long. Somebody was talking about their testimony about praying for their husband being saved. We think it ought to happen on our timeline when we tell God it ought to happen. That's not how it works. And a lot of lost people, I'm afraid, have said, you know what? Time after time, and listen to me, you cannot deny the calling of God. Amen. If you're in here and you're saved, you remember the day that you got saved. You might not know the day, you might not know the hour, but you remember when God knocked on your heart. If you're in here and you're lost, and God's ever spoke to you, you remember when God knocked on your heart, and you denied it. And there's so many people out there that have let God knock on their heart, and they have denied it over and over and over again. And I believe they've got this mentality in them that, I'll do it when I'm ready. That's not how it works. Well, what do you mean, preacher? I read, and the Bible says that God has to speak. And God will call on you. And God will knock on your heart, and then you have the opportunity to be saved. And a lot of people say, well, I'll do it on this date, or I'll do it when this person gets saved. I want to wait on him, or I want to wait on her. What if God don't call? What if you put something off because you're depending on somebody else, and that has nothing to do with your personal salvation with Jesus Christ? Just think, friend, what you're about to lose by waiting on someone else. So in Jonah chapter 3, we're going to start reading here. We're going to do a little bit of reading. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overturned." That's all he said. That was his message that God bid it unto Jonah, was to go into Nineveh and just say, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overturned." But in the early part of the text, back over in chapter 1 or 2, we understand that God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, and we all know the account that Jonah went the exact opposite way that God told him to go. And we all say, oh, Jonah went exactly away from God. You can even go back there and read that Jonah actually paid the fare to get on the boat to run away from God. You do the same thing. I do the same thing. I'll go pay $500, $600, $700, $800 to buy a phone. And instead of reading my Bible, I'll sit and look at that phone. I paid for that phone. We pay for to go in ball games. We pay to go do this. We pay to go do that. And it takes us away from God. But we want to look at the people in the Bible and say, oh, look how bad of a fellow Jonah was. Look how bad we are. Sometimes I think we feel uppity up sometimes, and we don't really think we don't deserve to be looked down upon. We're sinners saved by grace. We're no special than anybody else. We're no better than Jonah. We're no better than Peter. We're no better than any of the others that made a mistake and turned their side on God and went the opposite way. So let me understand. Let me try to get you to understand. When Jonah paid the fare and he got in the boat and he went away from Tarsus, if you don't read and study about the city of Nineveh, maybe you're judging Jonah a little bit too harshly. You see, the Assyrians that lived in the city of Nineveh, they were wicked and awful people. The walls of that city were 40 and 50 foot high, and the enemies that they killed, they would skin them and take their hides and post it to the city wall. Maybe you didn't know that. Now put your shoes in Jonah. You'd be excited. Oh, yeah, let me go over there and preach where they skin people alive and hang their hide up there. And let me go in and tell them, kick in the door of that city and say, hey, God said in 40 days, you better turn this place around. Not everybody be excited to do that. Oh, Jonah thought, man, I like my hide. Let somebody else do that. How many times have you caught yourself? Well, God, let somebody else do that job. Somebody else is better prepared to do that job. So therefore, you're in the same boat that old Jonah was. Jonah got in that boat. He paid the fare. He gets out in the middle of the storm. You see, you just can't hide from God. Jonah thought he was being slick. Jonah thought, you know what? I'll get over here and nobody will see. Nobody will understand where I'm going. I'll just disappear. Got out there and God sent a big old storm. Professional fishermen, professional sailors on this boat. Jonah was down in the hinder part of the ship just sleeping like a baby. The captain of the ship come down there and said, son, do you not understand? I'm paraphrasing, by the way. Do you not understand what's going on outside? We're about to die. Come out and pray to your God that he will help. They all cast lots and said, we got to figure out what's wrong. We're all praying to all these gods and nothing is happening. And Jonah said, I can tell you what's happening. He said, I serve the one true God. I'm a Hebrew. I serve the God that made the land and the sea. And Jonah said, just throw me overboard, boys, and it'll all stop. What did they do? I would have, at that very moment, I would have grabbed him by his feet and I would have chucked him in so fast his head would have spun. But what did they do? The Bible says they rowed that much harder, trying to get that boat to go to land. They knew. Jonah told him, said, hey, all you got to do is throw me overboard and it'll quit. But they went on their own and said, you know what, we'll do it our way. They didn't make it. They rowed and they rowed and they rowed and they didn't get nowhere. Friend, if you think you're going to make it your way, you're not going to get nowhere. You're paddling upstream and you're going nowhere. I can testify to that. I did it my way 19 years and I went nowhere. But friend, if you're here and you're older than that, maybe you're up in years and you say, well, I've lived my life the way I've wanted to for so many years. I'm just going to go ahead and finish my race my way. God God says you can. God's not going to stop you. He'll give you all that right that you want to. But let me tell you something. Your way is not the right way. Your way will lead you straight to hell. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come into the Father but by me. So your way is wrong. I don't care what mommy and daddy told you. I don't care what your uncle told you, your papa told you. If you're not following Jesus, if you're not surrendered to Jesus, you're lost. Poor old Jonah was on that boat. They rowed and they rowed and they rowed and they wasn't going nowhere. And finally they thought, you know what? Instead of all of us dying, let's just throw him in. Picked him up, chucked him overboard. And what did it say? Immediately, when he hit the water, the storm stopped. Now, if I was the guys on the boat, I thought, okay, this is real. This is real. This guy serves somebody that controls the wind, the seas, the land. He controls it all. You're going to get to that point one day. You might have not ever seen God work. I've seen God work. I've been part of His miracles. I've seen part of His miracles. I've seen people turn their life over to Him, not saying that their bank account filled up, not saying that the test results got any better, but I can tell you one thing. I can see the peace come over their face that passes all understanding because they say, you know what? I'm not dying and going to hell anymore. Amen. Man, that relieved me. Yeah. I was scared the night I got saved. Preachers, oh, you're not supposed to scare somebody. Let me tell you something. Dying and being in a place of torment that burns day in and day out, the worm does not die, you're separated from everybody you love. I was scared of going to that place, and I thought, you know what? I don't want to go there. Amen. Now, I've grown in faith and matured after that and realized now that the love of God's what I really wanted. But the night that I got saved, I'm not going to lie to you, I was scared to death. Because I knew at any moment, the preacher told me that I'm not in control. I thought I was in control, Terry, 19-year-old, tougher than woodpecker lips, didn't care what anybody thought about me. But I'm not in control. I wasn't the one in charge. God is the one in charge. And we just walk on and do what we want, when we want, and say, you know what, I'll do what I want, when I want. Just like Jonah did, he got on that boat, started going the opposite direction, and God prepared a great fish come up and swallowed old Jonah. Can you imagine what those people thought, the other men that were on the boat? They throw him in the water. Just as soon as they throw him in the water, the waves cease. And now a big old fish just comes up and just swallows him up. All their troubles are over. They're rowing back to shore. Sorry, Jonah. Hate to be you. Now old Jonah's in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And God gets his attention. Takes him all the way down to the bottom of the sea where Jonah cries out from the belly of the whale and says, Lord, save me. Why on earth do we want God to take us as low as He has to? Why do you want God to take you to the bottom of the barrel before you will realize and understand that He is the God of all heaven and all earth? He can save you on a beautiful sunshiny day. He can save you today. But friend, we want to wait and see if He'll take us all the way to the cancer bed when we're on our last dying breath. And then we think He's ought to show up and save us right then. He can save you today while you're healthy as a horse. He can use you today while you still got years left to be used. He can do the miraculous with you. But we want to just hold on to this whole world. So Jonah gets in the belly of the whale. God demands that the fish spit him out on dry ground. So now is where we're at in chapter 3. Just a little backstory on old Jonah. He's out of the belly of the whale, spits him out on dry ground, and now it said the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. The title of my message is Grace is Better Than Judgment. I love God's grace. I love God's long suffering. His mercy endureth forever. But you know what? There's coming a judgment. The children of Israel, so many times we're showed grace, but judgment's coming. You see, so many times through your years, you've been shown grace, but judgment's coming. Judgment is coming. You can mark it down and circle it that you will stand before an almighty God one day and you will give an account. Everybody. Nobody's excluded. But grace right now, in this hour of grace. How many times has God watched over you and you've not even realized it? How many times have you got stopped by a red light or a flat tire in front of you and got out to help somebody, and you go around the curve and there's a wreck and somebody perished in that curve? How many times have you been things and seen things that God has just kept you safe, and we are ignorant of them, but yet we say, well, that's just luck. It's not luck, it's God's grace. Judgment's coming. You see, grace was when Noah got spit out on dry land, and it said the word of the Lord coming to Noah, Jonah the second time. He didn't have to. Right. He didn't have to use Jonah. He could have picked anybody else that he wanted to and sent them unto Nineveh. But he was gracious to Noah, said, or Jonah. He said, all right, Jonah, I'm going to use you, and I'm going to show you that I can use you. He was gracious to me. He called me more than once. Some of you he called multiple times. Amen. Some of you he called for years and years. It's grace that he done that. But judgment's coming. Judgment will come in the day that you stand before him and you have no excuse. You have no reason. It's just judgment. So here it is. Jonah is out there. Jonah's out there and he's on the seashore. Look what it says in verse 5. So the people of Nineveh. Now remember, he just told them. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overturned, in verse 4. Now verse 5. And so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed and fasted, put sackcloths from the greatest of them even to the least. Everybody believed what Jonah said. From the greatest, that means from the king, all the way down to the little humble servants. They all believed. Verse 6. For the word of the Lord came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with a sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by a decree of the king that his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. So from the king all the way down, he said, hey, listen, we're going to take this time and we're going to not eat. We're not going to drink. We're going to cover ourselves in sackcloths and ashes, fasting. They believed. The devil believes and trembles. You say, well, preacher, I'm in here and I believe. Believing's not enough. Believing is just simply not enough. It's hard for me to imagine that anybody that can walk outside these doors and over the next couple days, weeks, you look outside and see everything starting to bloom. The birds show back up and start to whistle of a morning. The flowers come to life. And you sit and tell me that you don't believe there's a God? That all that just happened by chance? When you see a baby born into this earth and you think, well, that's just a coincidence. No, there's a God. There is a God. But here they believe. Look what it says in verse 8. But let no man or beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that was in their hands. Who can tell if God will repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? So just believing won't get you there. What does it take? You have to repent. You have to understand that you're lost. Repent and be baptized. It's all through the Bible. John the Baptist proclaimed it coming out of the wilderness. Repent and be baptized. You have to repent. Just believing and saying, I believe that there's a God, does not mean that you're saved. But you talk to people, and I talk to people, oh, sure, I believe there's a God. I believe that there's a God, Garrett, and I believe that he's long-suffering and he's merciful and he's graceful. He is. He's every one of those. I believe that he loves everybody. He does. Friend, more than you understand. He loves you. And I don't believe, Garrett, that he's a long-suffering, merciful, graceful God, and he loves everybody. And I believe, Garrett, that God can't send anybody to hell. There's grace and there's judgment. You see, right now, you're in the grace period. Grace is, he's extending it to you and saying, please, please accept it. Just like he took old Jonah and he sent him back the second time. He said, hey, listen, go to this city. I know they're wicked and awful people, but go unto them and proclaim unto them. Everybody deserves to be saved. Everybody has the chance to be saved. Now we look at things in modern day and we think things when the rapists and the murderers and all these people, they say, hey, well, they just deserve to die and go to hell. God says they deserve to be saved. They were rapists. They were murderers. Everything in that city. And when Jonah didn't go the first time, God put him in the belly of fish, turned him back around and spit him back out on Nineveh and said, now go preach to them. Jonah goes in, proclaims, hey, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. The king all the way down pushed herself in sackcloth and ashes, and it said they repented of their works. Look what it says in verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Well, Garrett, God made a mistake. It said that he had to repent. That is not what it is saying. God spoke unto the people of Nineveh because judgment was coming, but they changed their mind. You see, judgment's coming. I don't care what you do or what you say, judgment is coming. One day we'll die, one day we'll stand before God and we'll have to give an account. Friend, if you're in here and you're lost, you're going to go through a way worse judgment. You see, the judgment that I have to go through, yeah, I'm going to have to answer for the deeds that I've done, whether they're good or whether they be bad. But I'm saved. When I get up there, I'm one of his. If you don't know him, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. And that judgment that I'm talking about, after I get judged, yeah, I'm going to have flaws against me. I'm not perfect. Nobody in the world is perfect. But you know what? I still get to enter in because of God's grace and God's love and the gift that Jesus gave me through his blood. Amen. When you get there and you hear those words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. You don't get to just go ahead and, oh, well, you didn't do exactly what I told you to, but go ahead, you was a guy, good guy, good woman, go ahead and enter in. It doesn't work that way. You say, well, I know people that go to church and I'm better than them. It doesn't work like that. If you can't accept Jesus, if you can't repent of your sins, you can't be saved. I don't care how good of a person you are. I don't care what you give the church. I don't care what you do inside the church. It don't matter. When we was doing all this work to this place was tore apart. Maybe junk hanging from the ceilings, the walls. We knocked all the walls out. And there was a guy come down here and worked like a toehill. I mean, anything we'd ask him to do, he'd work and work and work and work. Lost as a ball in high weeds would admit that he's lost. And I come in one evening and we was working just as soon as we get off our regular jobs, we'd come down here and work. And I walked in and God put this on my heart and I just had this feeling overcome me that he's working to get himself into heaven. And I walked up to him, and I won't tell you his name, but I walked up to him. I said, man, I need to talk to you just for a second. We sat down, and I explained to him. I said, listen, I appreciate what you're doing. I'm grateful for what you're doing. But I, for one iota of a second, don't want you to get the misunderstanding that if you're coming down here and doing all this work, and he wasn't charging us a dime, he was working for free, it's not going to get you to heaven. And he looked at me and said, well, I'm trying to do my best. I said, well, your best don't cut it. No matter how good of a worker you are, no matter how many tools you let us borrow, no matter how much stuff you donate, that doesn't make you saved. And he looked discouraged. I said, but there's hope. I said, I know you've got a good heart. I know you want to do what's right. All you have to do is just repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ of who he is, and he'll save you. And he just dropped his head. Kind of like King Agrippa. I feel like it was almost. We was that close. I wanted to break out preaching, and it wasn't even a church house yet. But he never come back. And to this day, I don't know where he stands. But I couldn't let him go on thinking that being a good guy, and he's a super guy, he'd give you the shirt off his back, and he come down here and done all this great work. But friend, that just don't cut it in God's eyes. Well, that's a mean God. No, he's a loving God. He's a jealous God, and nothing else is going to come between you and him. He's your personal Savior. So here they go. They repent of their sins. It could have been judgment, but yet they turn from their wicked ways. Why would they do that? Look what it says over in chapter 4. Jonah goes in, preaches what God gives him, They turn from their wicked ways. Any preacher on the face of the earth, when they go in and they preach a message and people repent and be saved, I've never yet met a preacher that got aggravated for somebody getting saved. But look what it says in chapter 4 and verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. The very job God commanded him to go do, he done it. The people repented and got saved. And now Jonah's like, that didn't happen the way that I thought it was going to happen. And he's exceedingly mad and angry. Let's go on and read. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarsus, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, a merciful, slow to anger, and great in kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, my Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And when you read that, I think, man, he goes and he preaches. He does exactly what God tells him to do. And when people get saved, he's saying, well, you know what? It's better for me to be dead than to be here. What are you asking and what are you wanting out of God? Let's be reasonable. If you think God's going to be your sugar daddy, you're wrong. If you think God's going to come in and just clear all the doctor bills and clear all the diagnosis, you're wrong. He can. I serve a God that can do anything. But if you think just because you come to God and give your heart to God that all your life troubles and all your worries are going to be gone, no, you're not. I'm sorry. It don't work that way. But I can go home at night, and even though I got doctor bills laying on my desk that still aren't paid, even though I got a home mortgage that's not paid off, even though I got all these other things, even though I got kids to raise in this awful world that we live in, I can still go home and lay my head down on my pillow and fall fast asleep right now. Why? Because I know God's in control of it all. I really can't do anything about it anyways. He just puts me down here for a little while and uses me how he sees fit. And then when he's done with me, I'm going to go on and it's somebody else's turn. Jonah goes out there. He preaches to him. He sees that it didn't go the way that he want. Look what it said then. Verse 4, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? God's asking him a question. Is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it for the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. He goes up on the side of the hill. He said, I'm going to sit back here and just watch. I'm going to watch what God does to him. Even though I preached to him, even though I told him that 40 days you'd be overturned, they repented, I'm just going to go up here and sit back and watch and see what happens. Can you love your neighbor? Even if you don't like your neighbor, you ought to be able to. We ought to be able to love one another. Might not always get along with everybody, but I love them enough that I want them to be saved. If you got hatred in your heart, friend, towards somebody, don't work that way. Can't hate somebody and say that you're a Christian. You can't say, well, I hate their guts and I hope they die and go to hell. You better hit the altar. Amen. You better be right beside of them. Friend, even though I might not like the things that you do, I might not like the things that you say, I might not like what you stand for, I'm still praying that you get saved and you give your heart over to the Lord. It's our job. It's our duty. So Jonah's sitting up on the east side of the hill and he's just waiting. And the Lord, look what it says in verse 6, and the Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that he might be shadowed over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd, but God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, then it smote the gourd and it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise, God prepared of a east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted. And he wished himself to be dead. And he said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said unto Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then saith the Lord, thou hast pity on a gourd. Now, put the gourd and the children of Nineveh side by side here. God's trying to show him and teach him a lesson. Verse 10, then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which come up in night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherewith are many 60,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So Jonah was upset that his little plant that God had made him to give him shade had died. He said, it's even good for me to be mad unto death. He said, you're mad over a plant that you didn't create and I took away, but you're sitting on the side of a hill waiting for me to destroy 120,000 people. We may look at somebody and we may judge them. Say, well, I don't like them. I don't like their family. I've had people tell me I'll never go to church down there because this so-and-so or that so-and-so goes to church down there. Friend, I've asked the state that you're in this morning. You better be careful. You'll be like old Jonah. Took Jonah all the way to the bottom of the sea in the belly of a whale for him to realize that he was wrong. Once he gets squirted out on dry land, he goes and does what God wants, and then I'll be daggone if he didn't stand there and see 120,000 people be saved, and he got mad about it. You want revival? You want revival in your heart? Change your heart. You want revival in your heart? Let God in and soften that old stony heart. We ought to be able to be happy whenever we hear everybody out in another church is getting saved. I've heard people say, I don't believe you can get saved up there in that church. It's the same God up there in that church as it is down here in this church. It's the same God up here on this street as it is on that street. But because they wasn't at New Vision Baptist Church, I don't know if they really got saved or not. Hogwash. Start praying. Repent. You're thinking wrong. You're acting wrong. So if we're in here this morning, let's quit worrying about everybody else. How about that? You don't worry about the next person sitting beside you. I won't worry about you. You don't worry about me. Let's just worry about whether God's satisfied with us this morning or not. You see, Jonah was worried about all those other people over there in that city, and he was just waiting for God to send down and rain down hellfire and brimstone and destroy them all because they were wicked people. They were wicked, but God saved them. I was wicked, but God saved me. You were wicked, but God saved me.